So good deal. You did good. Colossians 1, 25, 27. Appreciate you being out on this Wednesday night. I know y'all are tired. Somebody told me when they came in, I was about to doze off. Colossians 1, 25, 27. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What is that mystery? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can be seated. Every time somebody, well, normally, a lot of times, when people ask me if I'm preaching tonight, I'll say, yeah, unless you want to. And I've done that for so long, now that when Taylor will say, are you preaching tonight? No, I don't want to. That's how she asks. I'm glad you get the rest, because I still get to go to work. But when we look at these scriptures, Jason, as I was reading these scriptures, and something really stuck out to me, because in ministry, let me tell you something about ministry. Ministry's tough. And the reason it's tough is because the enemy understands what ministry can do. It's amazing what one or two words can do to a person. When we minister to one another, it's amazing what a touch will do. A prayer. Just laying your hand on somebody and praying for them can really make a difference. It's amazing what those small things do. The enemy understands that as we minister, that lives are changed. So the goal is to get us self-consumed to where ministry is not really that important. And if we don't understand the goal of ministry, there is a fivefold ministry in the book of Ephesians. And what is its job? For the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints. Why would we want mature saints? Let me tell you this. Religion doesn't want mature saints. We say we want revival until somebody comes into the church and they're so excited that they don't fit into our worship mode. Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever been in a church service and I've watched it happen. I'm gonna tell on the Vance family. He comes from a Baptist background, and he started coming to our church. And I watched, they were sitting right back there, and I watched something go on, and somebody was pretty excited about their worship, and I watched the whole family go. We say we're ready, but are we ready for a Hannah that'll come to the altar and pray until she can't talk? Are we ready for that? Because ministry costs something. And I started out preaching when I was 17 years old. They called me an evangelist, but what I did is I went from church to church and preached in other people's pulpits. Dave, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Because, and Tracy can attest to this, Shane, we would blow in, blow up, and blow out. We'd come in, preach the good news of Jesus, and then leave. And then ministry begins to change shape. And God called me to pastor. And everything began to change. Not just the way I thought, but the way God was turning me. And listen, I'm so excited about Easter. I thought I'd get a different response. You're like, oh, really? What for? Are you? That's interesting. Because with Eddie, when I was an evangelist, preachers would have me come and preach Easter service for them. Ain't nobody getting my Easter service. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a moment to go back to that evangelistic preaching Jesus, death, burial, resurrection, the good news of the gospel, all of those things. But in this, watch what he says. He says, God called me. He said, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages. Watch this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory. What is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Joel, when I read this week, it hit me. I believe that my purpose now on this earth is to let people know how awesome it is to have Christ in you. And not only know that, but let it be made manifest to you where you realize and you recognize what that really means. I love to preach justification, and I love to preach sanctification. I love to preach the blood, and I love to preach the cross. But all of that got you to a place to where Christ could dwell in you. The purpose of this whole thing is relationship. Amen. The purpose of this is that he might dwell in you, he can abide in you, and you abide in him. Now, justification got me here. The cross got me here. All of those things, the empty tomb got me here. But now that I'm here, there is a responsibility and there is an authority that comes with Christ being in me. I'm not just giving you a deeper theology. I'm giving you your identity. Because when the church realizes who she is, when the church realizes that we're not just an entity that exists with Christ, but we are actually bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and we are actually one with him and we are unified with him, then we will get rid of the idea that I am a sinner saved and on my way to heaven, but instead I'm a saint of God with the Spirit of God dwelling in me, and it will change the way we do things. He said, make it manifest. My goal is to make, because you think it would be plain, but it's not plain. Still, Sam, after the revelation, after the revealing, after Paul preached this, we still struggle. And we think that it's us being forgiven by Jesus. And that's great. But the purpose of redemption is ownership. And the purpose of ownership is service. He bought you so that he could abide in you. Let me read you some scriptures. You ready? Okay, you ready? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Listen to this. I know we've heard it, but do we really get it? I am crucified with Christ. The old Paul, he's saying, is dead. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's saying, he dwells in me. The life that I now live, this life is his life in me. It's not his spirit dwelling with your spirit, but it's his spirit taking over and you become one. He prayed and said, Father, make them one as we are one. Now, what was he talking about being one? He's talking about being one in spirit. It's not the Spirit of God is dealing with my spirit. It's his spirit comes in and takes up his abode, and we've got to let that spirit take control. It's not for debate. You have been bought with the price. You are no longer your own. So his spirit abides in you. Now, with that, Brandon, becomes an awesome possibility if we get it. Well, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I appreciate that. I'm glad. I'll see you in a little while, because I'm going to have to repent for something I'm getting ready to do. And we appreciate God's grace and we appreciate his forgiveness. But he said, the life that I now live, if we can understand what happens when Christ comes to live in us, once we understand that union, once we comprehend that we are not just forgiven on our way to heaven, I want to repeat myself, but we have become one spirit with Christ himself. One spirit with Christ himself. That means the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. Now look at the person beside you and say, I'm awesome. I heard you, Joel. I got to take you somewhere. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise. When Peter's penning this and he's talking about the promises of God, and he's trying to describe them, these are the words: exceeding, great, and precious. Those are the promises of God that have been given to us. Why are they exceeding, great, and precious? I want to tell you why. Because those promises will fulfill something in us that he has designed to be fulfilled. I'm standing on the promises of Christ, my King. You ever sung that? If we really realize that we are standing on exceeding, what kind of promises are there? Some people make promises. Anybody ever made a promise to you and break it? Let me tell you something about his promises. His promises, he does not break. God doesn't break his promises. So when I'm standing on a promise of God, it is exceeding, it is great, and it is precious, because it is a ground that the devil himself cannot remove me from when I realize how great the promises of God really are. So I think we are settling for way less than what God designed us to settle for. Because unless God is doing great things in your life, then the devil has tricked you. Unless there is something exceedingly great going on, then the devil has tricked us. And we are living below our means. Can you say amen? I read a story years ago about a man. And his uncle had passed away and left him millions of dollars. And he died broke because he had no idea about the inheritance. He had no idea what belonged to him. Even though it was his, Jason, he died broke. He died in poverty. So if the church is wondering, and let's be honest, there are some things that come our way that are so minute and they get our life so tore up because we don't realize who we are yet. Blown away with every wind of doctrine. Maybe this is that. Maybe this is that. No, let me tell you what it is. Here's your hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, well, maybe I need this. Maybe I need that. Maybe if I can just get to this place. No, it's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. I've testified about this for years. If we had Jesus in here right now and we advertised and we put it in the anywhere we could put it, shared it everywhere and said, Jesus Christ will be at City on a Hill tonight. How many people do you think would have shown up here tonight? Oh, come on, you know, if somebody told me that Jesus in the flesh was showing up at their church tonight, I would at least be a little interested. Even if they were crazy, I'd like, well, I'm going to go see how crazy they are. I promise you more people would be here tonight. I mean, how cool would it be, Jason, to preach with Jesus walking around with you? You think people would pay a little more attention? You think they'd listen if Jesus was... But he looked at the disciples and he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. He said, it's better for you that I leave. How could that comment ever come out of his mouth? He said, because if I do not go, the Comforter cannot come. He's saying, what's better than having Jesus beside of you is having Jesus in you. So the truth is, that Spirit is here tonight. What we don't do is we don't recognize it. And when we don't recognize it, we're missing out on some exceeding great promises because we don't recognize what we have in each one of us. But we're going to, because I've been preaching identity for a year now, maybe longer. And it may go on and on and on until you can actually look at somebody across the aisle and say, I'm awesome. with no reserve because you know who you are in him. You know who you are in him. You're like, well, no, Jesus is awesome. No, he made you awesome. You are his workmanship. Darren taught us, and said, whatever I call clean, don't you call common. So if you have been wonderfully made, and if God calls you wonderful, then you should call yourself Mr. Wonderful. Maybe that name's already taken. God has made you in that place. We're trying to survive because we don't know who we are. Everybody okay? It'll get better. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Listen to this verse. I know you've heard it. I know you've read it. But he that is joined unto the Lord is, say it out loud, one spirit. One spirit. You know what we do? We separate our spirit from his spirit. We don't have that luxury as children of God. It's one spirit. That means his desire becomes my desire. Not only his desire, his power becomes my power. His authority becomes my authority. His dominion becomes my dominion. So when I walk in that identity that I know that Christ is in me, then there are some things. See, we're praying and we're asking Jesus to do things that he's telling us, just speak to it. I've already given you the authority. Why? You have it. Do you have it or you don't have it? If you got it, then whatever comes up, he said, you know what? There's the mountain. Speak to the mountain. The problem is we're dealing with bondage. And we're okay and we're settling with bondage because we don't know how to speak freedom yet. But when we realize that it's the Spirit of Christ that moves in us, then I will begin to speak to things and stop worrying about things because I know who I am. I said this one time and I said, I'm going to try to quit saying it, but because people gasp, but if I'm going to sin, I'm going to do something more fun than worrying. You know what worrying is? It's a sin. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand if you're a worrier. Because some people worry about everything. You know how many people are scared to death about end time eschatology? They're always trying to figure it out and trying to add it up and I've known people in my life, Brother Eddie, that were so afraid that it was going to end. I don't know if you know this or not, Dustin, but when we left the pit, all of us left, and we left Derek over there. He was over there by himself for a while. When I went back over there, he said, I thought the rapture took place. He said, I looked around and everybody was gone. But he said, so-and-so was gone, so I knew it wasn't the rapture. We get so tore up because we don't know who we are. But we are learning who we are. And as we learn who we are and we walk in that, things begin to change. Because you know what? Sometimes after preaching this, I still get a little worried about things. Things going on in my family, things going on in my life, I begin to worry. I heard a preacher say this the other day. He said, you can either be a warrior or a warrior. I was like, I like Taco Bell. I like Taco Bell. I was like, it kind of sounds the same to me. You can be a worrier or a warrior. Doesn't he say it again? Everybody got it? But you can't be both. And the only way that we can't be both is understand that spirit in us is his spirit. Now, how do we do this? How do we change it? Here's the real question. I can tell you what you need to do, but if I don't tell you how to do it, what good's it going to do us? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. How many people in here, I want you to raise your hand on this one, have problems with your mind? Everybody, look around. We got a crazy church. Everybody. I don't think anybody in here was okay with what goes on in their head. Do it again. How many people have problems with their mind? I was in church one time, and this guy came and talked to me. He said, hey, we need to talk. And I said, what do we need to talk about? He said, I need to know how you believe on all these certain things. He said, before I start coming to church here. I said, so we have to agree on everything before you come to church here? He said, yes. I said, we're not going to agree on everything. I said, you know how I know? He said, how's that? I said, because I don't agree with me on everything. I said, I still got things in my own mind that I haven't settled yet. Anybody else with me? So I said, if I'm not in perfect harmony with me yet, do you think me and you are going to be in perfect harmony? It's not going to happen. We're going to agree on everything. I have issues with my own mind because your mind will mess you up. That's why he said, renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Has anybody been paying attention to what's been going on in the news? Some of them said, yeah, because we've been challenging people to shut it off. So we're seeing who's paying attention and who's actually listening. Some of you people that's been watching it, it's got really interesting lately, ain't it? I know, you know, I know. I have seen people ask other people what is in those files that they released. Oh, now you know what I'm talking about. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah. They're like, go check it out because I don't have time. Listen to this really, really close. There are people in the entertainment industry that are telling us that most of the people in the entertainment industry are satanic. Now, listen. Back in the day, when the preacher preached on that, we thought he was old-fashioned. When the preacher said, that devil, you need to turn that devil music off, you need to turn that devil this off, you need to turn that devil that off. Remember that? And we was like, oh, he's a little old-fashioned. But now we've got current people that are involved in the industry saying this stuff's of the devil. You ready? Y'all ready for Wednesday night? Get ready. But what we do as Christians is we don't turn it off. And then we wonder why we're struggling in our mind, because I'm going to tell you something right now. The devil's got a plan for you just as much as God has a plan for you. And you got to figure out which voice you're going to listen to, because you can't serve God and man. You can't serve them both. You will either love one and hate the other. I preach this all the time because this is extremely important. The devil didn't play an instrument. He was an instrument. Do you hear me? I mean, he had pipes and all the things in him. You don't think the devil understands music? You don't think he knows how to get... Listen, Shane, you can post this. I was preaching one time about all the stuff that was going on in the world and how Christians were allotting this and allotting that. And while I was preaching it, there was a girl sitting in the congregation posting about it on Facebook, about how great it was. I'm up here talking about how horrible it is. Listen to this, people. While I'm saying it, she's posting how great it is. We are messed up as the bride of Christ when we celebrate sickness and then we wonder what's wrong with us. We've talked about this before. There's neutral music out there. I don't think it's good or bad. Me and my wife are in the kitchen dancing to When a Man Loves a Woman. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's some neutral things going on there. But you know what else I know? I know there's some other stuff in there that are warping people's minds to think a way that God never designed us to think, and we're mixing it all together and we're coming out lukewarm. But it's time for the church to put some of that stuff down. And if you don't, listen, check out Nicki Minaj. I know she curses, I know she, but she's telling everybody, hey, this industry is very, very evil and it's very satanic. And we're like, oh yeah, turn it on, baby. It's time for the church to turn it off. Turn on the word of God. Get in a place where we can walk in the Spirit of Christ and do what Christ ordained us to do. Oh, preacher, you're meddling. I'm not meddling. I'm telling you this. We're in a mess. Our podcast, Shane was telling me the other day, they got all kinds of information on that thing, don't they, Shane? How many people listen to us? What else they keep? They keep track of the number one downloaded song of our listeners. Did you hear that? What was the number one song? Do you remember? Well, listen to y'all. What's wrong? Y'all old-fashioned. Our listeners? They keep track of a lot of that stuff. What was it? You didn't hear what? Oh, then somebody did, because they all gassed. He said it was Taylor Swift. Some of her songs. I said something last week. I was talking about, I don't know if y'all caught, I was talking about screens in church. Remember that? Kids with screens in church. And I was like, man, don't let your kids. I was getting all fired up. I was like, don't let your kids have screens in church. And I went home and I said, I bet there's some parents like, who does he think he is telling me how to raise my kids? Now, hold on. It gets better than that. I don't want to raise your kids. I just don't want Google to do it. So why don't you look at Google and say, who do you think you are trying to tell me how to raise my kids? Because that's exactly what they're doing. I'm trying to protect you from it. Amen. Trust me. I raised three kids. I am done. It's. You know, I tell Tracy all the time. We'll walk to the house. I say, we're the only two people that live here. I tell her all the time. I don't want to raise your kids, but I want you to be careful, because what the devil wants to do is never let you realize who you really are. Because let me tell, can I preach for a little bit longer? I know I'm windy. You know what this whole world wants to do? Define the identity of your kids. They want to define the identity of you. They want to tell you who you are. Too late. I already found out who I are. I'm his. And because I'm his, none of that stuff satisfies me. Why does it not satisfy? If nothing in this world satisfies you, that means you must be made for another world. Because there is nothing in the flesh that can satisfy. But let's get in the Spirit and walk in that union with Christ and forget all that stuff. So to our people that helped me baptize, I always give people a profession of faith. I say, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that he rose again for your justification? By your profession of faith, we baptize you, our brother or our sister, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. That's what we say every time. I'm adding something to the next one. It's going to start out like this. Do you renounce Satan and his kingdom? I've watched it. I've watched the baptisms. Aaron, I've watched them. I've watched them all around the world. And they're like, why are you being baptized? Because I want to be a better version of myself. Who taught you that's what baptism was for? You want to be a better version of yourself? Paul said, I'm crucified with him. You don't want to be a better version of you. You want to crucify you and be more like him. You get it? Stuff messes with your head. I know. How many people in here listen to Southern gospel music in your lifetime? How many people? Raise your hand. Give me a song. Give me a Southern gospel song. How's it go? Okay. Somebody know a Southern gospel song you can give me some words to? What is it? The Crab Family? Okay. What is it now?
Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand was God's saving grace.
All right, let me ask you a question. Is anybody... Go ahead. We'll pause. I gotta ask you a question. Would anybody put that on a download on your phone to run on your treadmill?
I can.
Go ahead, sing it again. Come on.
I'm out of breath now.
You're out of breath. I'll be honest with you, when he started singing it, I wanted to go fishing. I understand that. But do you think Christians are really listening to the words? Oh, any of them. Because if we're... Oh, glory. I'm on your toes yet? I'm on mine because I worry sometimes. There's some things that we got to realize who we are. And there are some things that we need to understand are putting us in different states of mind because that's what they're designed to do. I thought the preacher was old-fashioned until I learned some things. I have heard my grandpa say, I'm about to watch my program. Do you know what programs do? Guess what? They program. I use this illustration a lot. Come on, Aaron. I can't quit. I can just keep on going. I've used this illustration a lot. Let a little boy watch a movie about a cowboy. And he don't come in there wanting to be a ninja. You know what he does? He's the cowboy. You don't think programming works? It works. Girl watches a princess movie. You know what she wants to be? A princess. Watches a mermaid movie. You know what she wants to be? A mermaid. What, I mean, how do we not? We're just, oh, it's so cute. It's like, no, they are getting them. Because the mermaid's cute. But then as it moves forward, things begin to change. The message begins to change. The effect begins to change. Am I telling it right, Jason? Am I right? And we walk around, we're like, I don't know why I'm so anxious. Because you're not walking in who you are. You're conflicted. And when we are conflicted, we struggle. I don't know how some people do it. I really don't know how some people do it. They do it. If you're one of those people, I'm sorry. You just tell me how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I've been in public places and seen guys with their shirts off, and I'm like, you shouldn't. You shouldn't do that. And there is no shame in their game. I've seen it didn't bother them at all. You know what I'm talking about? They're just like, I'm like, I almost want to stop and say, you should not do that. You shouldn't do that. But he's not conflicted about it. I would be conflicted. I'd be like, I'm working out tomorrow. I'm starting to diet tomorrow. I'm just doing it tomorrow. Now I'm doing it today. I would, when they don't struggle unless they're conflicted. You get what I'm saying? The problem is when we know that he's called us to walk in holiness and we're not walking in the spirit that he designed us to walk in, we get conflicted. And when we get conflicted, we struggle. So what are you saying, preacher? It's time to yield to the spirit that he put in you. You were designed and brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Who do you think you are, preacher? Tell me what I can and cannot listen to. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to police you. How cool would that be if I could police you? Ian asked me one time, he said, what would you, if you had a superpower, what would it be? Teleport, man. You know how much time I could save teleporting? You know how awesome it would be if I could teleport and just pop up in the back seat of your car? You shouldn't be listening to that. Pastor Damon. I can't police you. So you know what God did? He put something in us that convicts us. You don't need me in the back seat, because what's greater than me in the back seat is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But listen to it. Listen to it. Because when you listen to that voice, it's trying to take us somewhere. Start playing, Aaron. I cannot stop again. Give up, God. I give it to you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not a sinner. Saved by grace on my way to heaven. I'm a son of God put here on earth to bring his presence to make a difference in some people's lives. That's what I'm here for. This world has a way of messing with you. We dealt with some issues last Wednesday before church. There was part of me that wanted to do way different, Robin, than what you've seen in the parking lot. But you know what that does? Nothing. Tears up your witness. You're supposed to be this, and you're supposed to be that, and you're supposed to be this. Quit saying you're supposed to be and say, I already am. Now I'm going to walk in it. Don't be conflicted. Yield to it. Let's stand. Would you stand? Man, there's certain riffs and certain rhythms make me want to do different stuff. Your song didn't make me want to run. Come on, y'all. Do you know what I'm talking about? Terry Morgan, I don't know if y'all know him or not, but he said something one time about worship music. He said, if you want me to waltz, play the waltz. If you want me to run, give me something to run to. What he's playing right now doesn't make me want to spin in a circle and run. What are you saying? I'm saying things are designed a certain way to produce an effect. Will we agree with that? The world wants an effect. I'm sick of the world. Listen, I'm sick of all of it. Eddie, I think if the man of sin showed up right now, he may be AI. A And there are people that are saying that right now. It's going to be artificial intelligence. It's going to be the man. We talked about today, didn't we, Dustin? And you know what? I ain't worried about the man of sin because I got the Son of God. Yeah, that's worth clapping over. What are you worried about? Preacher, we need to know. Well, we need to know Jesus. And he said, occupy till I come. Keep sing, Aaron, sing. Whatever this song is going to be, it's going to be a good one. If you need prayer, step out. We want to pray for you. Say, you know what? Hey, you know what? Maybe we need to confess and say, there's some things in my life that I have been doing, and they're pulling me away, and I want to get rid of them. Tonight, I want to give them to him so that I can walk in authority. It's your life. There we go.